Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Allegra, Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Of course, we're discussing the coronavirus. And I want to discuss something that should really open people's eyes as to the type of evil we have in this world. There are people in this world who are just evil, who are cruel, evil, immoral, despicable individuals. And I think we see that reflected in the reaction to the coronavirus. Because you have many Democrats, the politicians, and I'm talking about the Democrat politicians, and journalists, and leftists in general, who, despite this emergency situation and this terrible tragedy and this terrible human catastrophe that we're facing with the coronavirus, they actually want Donald Trump to fail in his efforts to get this situation under control. In other words, they won't put aside their political grudges and their ideological differences, and they won't put that aside, even in this period of national and worldwide emergency. And it really shows how evil they are. Now, first of all, let me just clarify that obviously many average Democrats, you have many average people out there who work for a living and happen to be Democrats. I think they're crazy, but they happen to be Democrats, and they happen to be leftists. Many of the average people who are suffering from this, obviously they would like to see this problem solved. They'd like to see a cure for the coronavirus. They'd like to see drugs developed that will kill the virus and a vaccine developed that will prevent infection. Obviously, many average people, even Democrats, even people who oppose Donald Trump, even people on the left would like to see that, because they're also suffering from the effects of this, and they also understand the devastating consequences of this economically, socially, and of course the many people who die and face terrible health problems as a result of this. So they want to see a solution to this. But the Democrat politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Schmuck Schumer and Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, these Democrat politicians, they would prefer to see millions of people die if necessary, as long as Donald Trump fails, and as long as they can retake the White House, and as long as they can retake control of the U.S. Senate. That's what they're interested in. They're interested in power. They're interested in defeating Donald Trump and the Republicans. And by the way, there are Republicans also who are evil people. A lot of Republicans are very evil too. But I'm just trying to point out to people, because there are naive people out there who don't understand the degree of evil that exists in this world, that there are people who are so evil that they would actually want something like this to spread and become even worse. They want the United States to go into a depression. They don't want just a recession. They'd like to see a depression, so that Donald Trump is defeated for re-election. There are evil people like that out there. And I'm saying that not as a Trumpster. Those of you who have watched me over the years and have watched JTF, you know that we are not fans of Donald Trump. We're supporting him for re-election because the opposition is worse, because the Democrats are worse. But we are not his fans. We supported Ted Cruz. And you know, just let me just quickly take a moment to say again, what a difference we would have had if someone like Ted Cruz were in the White House now. Ted Cruz, who understands science. Ted Cruz, who is brilliant. Ted Cruz, who is analytical. Ted Cruz, who's a real leader, and who would marshal all the facts and the information and would get people moving in the right direction. He would have been the perfect president for a period of time like this. Anyway, instead we have Donald Trump, who is not a good leader for this or for any other situation. He's not a good leader because he's ignorant and he's a schmuck and he doesn't know the facts, and he makes statements that are stupid, and he pushes certain drugs over other drugs despite the opinions of scientists and physicians that the drugs he's proposing, for instance, may not be as effective as other drugs, he's interfering in the process when he doesn't even know what he's doing, and making statements that are often crazy statements. So he's not a good leader. He's not a good leader. Having said that, the Democrats are worse, and so we have no choice but to support him for re-election. And having said that, despite the fact that we're not his fans, this is a period of national emergency. We want success in the fight against the coronavirus. Anyone who's sane wants to see the efforts to defeat this succeed. And Trump does sincerely want to stop this virus. He does want this stopped. And so his efforts to marshal the resources of the United States and of other countries to stop this and put an end to this, those efforts are efforts that we should want to see we should want to see them come to fruition. We want them to succeed. But I could tell you that the journalists, those news anchors at ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, who are getting great ratings now because everybody's watching television and the news to see what the latest is, they're getting great ratings. They're like big stars on TV now, and because their ratings were horrific before this. Their ratings were going down, down, down because everybody turns to the internet. Nobody watches TV anymore. But very few people watch TV. People now rely on the internet for their information. And so, for the first time, they're seeing a resurgence in people watching TV and people going to their programs. Believe me, they love this. They love disasters. They love catastrophes because they want ratings and they want to be the center of attention in the world. And so these evil journalists, they want Donald Trump to fail. They want tragedy and catastrophe and bad things to continue. And that's why they're reporting. When they do their reporting, they don't report to promote drugs and vaccines and therapies and trial and clinical trials. They should be promoting things to solve this problem. They should be pushing for new innovation to solve this problem. That they don't report on. They practically don't report on those things. They put that on the side. Instead, they try to create panic, and they just report doom and gloom, and so that there'll be complete panic, and so they want. Their panic reporting is designed to bring the stock market down more, to crash, so that the stock market will crash and the bond market will crash and the economy will crash and we'll have a Great Depression. That's what they want. They really do want that. That's what the journalists want. And that's what the Democrat politicians want. That's what the establishment in Washington, a lot of people in the establishment in Washington, they would do anything at any price to defeat Donald Trump and to have an establishment person in the White House again. Not that Donald Trump goes against the establishment. He usually doesn't buck the establishment, contrary to what people think. He usually goes along with what the establishment recommends. But they would prefer someone like Joe Biden, who is 1,000% completely in the pocket of the establishment. They would rather have that in the White House. And so you see a situation here where there are people, MSNBC and CNN and all these other, and these cable stations, and of course the Washington Nazi Post, the New York Nazi Times, and really evil media, they want to defeat Donald Trump in the 2020 election at all costs. At any cost, at all costs, they want him defeated. They have staked their reputations on defeating him, on teaching a lesson to the American people and defeating him. And so they want to defeat him at all costs. And so when you see them reporting, you know, you watch, you think the whole world has come to an end when they're reporting, because they, as bad as the problem is, and it is a serious problem, there is a serious problem there. There's no question there's a national emergency and that this is a terrible tragedy. There's no question about it. But they create a situation where the world has come to an end. and they exaggerate. They exaggerate to the point, when they do reporting that 80% of the world's population is going to be infected. This type of report, this type of misleading reporting. The fact is that the statistics do not bear out that many millions are going to die, and that's not what the statistics do not seem to indicate that that's where we're headed. Are we headed toward a situation where many more will die? Yes, many people are dying, and many people, and it looks like many people will die tragically. But many millions, and it's going to be just huge numbers of the human race is just going to be wiped out by this, like in the Black Plagues of Europe, where one third of the European population died. No, that's not where we're headed. Okay, it doesn't look like that. At least the statistics do not seem to indicate that. And there does seem to be a realistic chance, at least, that at least in a year and a half, that there'll be a vaccine to take care of this problem. It would appear that will be developed within a year and a half. There seems to be a good chance of that. Let's put it that way. There's nothing guaranteed, but it seems to be a chance of that. Also, there should be a dramatic cut in the number of infections and the number of people getting sick as the summer comes, as the hot weather comes, because these viruses tend to be burned out in the summer. The summer heat burns the viruses out and kills them. That at least has been the experience. It was the experience in the Spanish flu, where many millions did die, and in the United States, hundreds of thousands died. But even in the Spanish flu, you had in the summer, you had a period of relief in the summer where people thought mistakenly that was the end of it. And of course, it then, when the cold weather returned in the fall and the winter, it came back and it came back to be even more severe. So, but in this case, every period of relief gives new hope, because it's a race against time. There's a race to develop a vaccine. They may already have a vaccine, but it has to be clinically tested. It has to be properly tested in extensive clinical trials. That has to happen for a vaccine. Because if you're going to mass administer something to the general public without extensive clinical testing, it could be a catastrophe. It could be an unspeakable catastrophe, and you'll set the world back even more. It would be an unmitigated disaster. Until a vaccine is developed in a year or a year and a half, until that happens, God willing that a vaccine will be developed in a year or a year and a half, God willing, as quickly as possible. But until a vaccine is developed and mass-produced and is proven to be relatively safe and effective, until that happens, though, we can't wait a year or a year and a half. Then we will have a Great Depression if everything is shut down for the next year or year and a half. So, of course, we look forward to the warming weather eventually reducing the number of infections and reducing the number of sick people. And of course, we look forward to the prospect of drugs being used in the interim, because drugs that can be proven effective in clinical trials, that can come sooner than a year and a half. Remember, there are two ways to fight this medically. One is through drugs that kill the virus once you're already sick, or drugs that can be administered that can also prevent you from getting infected. There could be drugs that could prevent you from getting infected in the first place. That's one way. The second way is a general vaccine that prevents infection. But if there are drugs that could prevent infection and that can kill the virus once somebody is infected, kill the virus in someone's body once they are infected, that's something that could be developed a lot quicker if the clinical trials prove effective. We don't know if that's going to happen. We don't know. Unfortunately, Donald Trump has already picked which drugs he thinks are going to be successful and not successful. He should not be interfering in that. He should not be doing that. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. That he should leave to the medical experts and to the scientific community and to the physicians. Should he be pushing them to find a solution, to find a cure, and should there be a general review? Yes. And should there be scientists and doctors around him that he can trust who will review the evidence? Yes. But he should not be interfering and saying, oh, I want this instead of that. Because, for instance, Dr. Fauci, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but he, Dr. Fauci, who's supposed to be the main doctor leading this effort, believes that the anti-malaria drugs that Trump is pushing are not the most promising answer to this, that there are other drugs that may be more promising. Whatever. But I think there should be as many, obviously, clinical trials as possible of everything possible. But from the way things, just the way things generally happen, you're going to have a limited amount. You're going to have people concentrating on certain things, and so you don't want someone like Trump stepping in and saying, I want this drug because somebody told him something, so he feels now that he knows what's better. And by the way, the anti-malaria drugs he's pushing may prove effective in the end. They may. God willing, I hope they are. I hope they are. But there are other drugs and other therapies that also, that the scientific and medical community feel are more promising, give a better chance. And Trump should not be discouraging research into those other possible cures as well. So that's where we stand. And by the way, I live in Queens, New York. And just so that you'll know, and I'm doing this broadcast obviously from Queens, New York, the epicenter of this virus in the United States and maybe worldwide is now New York City. New York City now has a higher infection rate than Northern Italy or than China or than any other place. New York City is the epicenter of this terrible virus. And there are five boroughs in New York City. We call counties boroughs, the counties. Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island, Manhattan, and the Bronx. Those are the five boroughs or counties of New York City, within New York City. The county with the highest infection rate and the highest death rate is Queens, and that's where I live. So in other words, I'm in the epicenter of the epicenter. I'm in the place where in one hospital you had 13 people die in one day and just in one hospital. That's how bad it is. So I'm in the real epicenter of all this, in the worst place. This is the worst place you could be in the United States at a time like this, is Queens. But that's where I live, and we fight. We're going to do the best we can, and we fight the battle and hope that, God willing, that as few people as possible get infected and as few people as possible get sick and die. That's the hope. But in the interim, of course, we should all be praying for a cure and for success, even if people like Donald Trump or don't like Donald Trump. That's not the issue here. This is a national emergency. We have to be praying for success. That doesn't mean you can't disagree, as you've heard me just now criticize some of the things Trump does. You can disagree with Donald Trump, and you can criticize if it's constructive criticism that's aimed at pushing us in a better direction. Sometimes you have to criticize. You can't just blindly follow somebody. I'm not advocating blindly following Donald Trump, and we in JTF certainly don't blindly follow Donald Trump in any way, as some of his supporters do blindly follow him, and in fact they're taking the drugs. They're trying on their own to self-medicate. After he mentioned these drugs, they're trying to take the drugs themselves and self-medicate, and they're dying. They're killing themselves. People are dying when they do this. There have been people who stupidly tried to do this, and they wound up dying. They wind up killing themselves. Because you can't take drugs like this on your own and self-medicate. If you're going to take drugs, you got to do it, of course, under the supervision of a competent doctor, of a competent physician. But in any event, all of us, though, have to pray for a cure and pray for a solution to this problem, obviously, and work toward a solution and work toward a cure for this problem. And you know, the incredible efforts that are being made now to find a solution to this. Can you imagine if there was a massive concerted effort to find a cure for cancer, to find a cure for heart disease, for diabetes, if there was this massive effort on with all these other diseases, it would pay in the long run. What, can imagine what our society would look like if there was a cure for cancer, if there was a cure for most types of heart disease, if there was a cure for diabetes and these other terrible, and Alzheimer's and these other terrible diseases. So, you know, these are things we should be working for, and we don't spend enough time, money, effort to try to do these things. Our society does not do enough to try to do these things. A massive effort was made to find a cure for AIDS because of the massive homosexual deviant population that, you know, the massive homosexual deviant lobbying effort that took place, because a lot of the Hollywood actors are homosexual perverts. And the sodomites had a massive effort to get everybody involved in trying to find cures for AIDS and something and some solution for the AIDS virus. And eventually a combination of drugs was developed that enables people now to live with AIDS. When it first started, was an absolute death sentence. And now people live with AIDS sometimes 20, 30 years because of this combination, they call it a cocktail of drugs that they developed. They spent so much money on AIDS because of the homosexual perverts, the sodomite perverts that pushed for this, that cancer research and diabetes and Alzheimer's and heart disease and all these other illnesses that kill hundreds of millions of people, that kill many hundreds times the number of people that died from AIDS, because the homosexual minority, you know, the numbers that they were losing compared to the general population is going to be much smaller, obviously, because they're a small minority of the population. But the fact is that there was tremendous neglect for decades in efforts to find cures for cancer. We have immunotherapy now to try to cure cancer. We could have cured cancer. I'm almost certain we could have cured cancer many years ago. Certainly, if we put the effort that we put into finding a cure for AIDS into cancer, the immunotherapy, for instance, I think we would have already developed solutions already to cancer, to fighting cancerous cells and to dealing with cancer. And the same thing with most forms of heart disease and stroke and other illnesses. And so here we are. I mean, I'm sitting here in Queens. I'm 63 years old, so I'm in a high risk group as well because of my age. I'm in my 60s. I'm a senior citizen. But of course we believe in God here, and we pray and we hope that a solution will be found. And you should be careful, and you should follow the guidelines. You should follow the guidelines. And we are very anti-establishment on this program. We hate the federal government, and we hate the establishment, because the federal government are a bunch of bureaucrats, evil bureaucrats. But as much as we can't stand them, in this particular national emergency, when the medical community says you should wash your hands and keep your distance and try to be careful, all of that really is very wise, very, very wise advice. And I want to give you some more advice. Eat healthy. If your immune system is stronger, you're less likely to be infected. And if you're infected, even if you are infected, your symptoms will be a lot milder if you're healthy and strong. Eat healthy. You know, I only eat healthy food. I only eat healthy food. A diet of vegetables, for instance. I have kale salad every day. I eat a big kale salad with lots of kale and mixed vegetables together with the kale, mixed vegetables, avocado, other things. There are things you can eat that are healthy. Potato, by the way, if you don't overeat. Potato is healthy as long as you don't put butter or creams or other things that people put on the potato. Just plain, boil plain potato and eat a potato. Potatoes are delicious. And plain potato is delicious too. You don't need salts and butters and other things that are unhealthy. And, you know, by the way, if you want it for drinking, the juice that is healthiest to drink is Mitz Rimonim. Mitz Rimonim means pomegranate juice. If you can get 100% pure pomegranate juice with no sugar added, it's expensive, but it's healthy. That's very healthy. Just drink a glass a day of pomegranate juice. That's very healthy. Eat healthy. Exercise. That's very important. You should get a little bit of sunshine and a little bit of fresh air. Because the sun, you shouldn't stay in the sun for a long time. And if you live in very warm climate areas, in the south, other places, you should try to avoid the sun as much as possible because you can get skin cancer, God forbid. But if you live in northern climates and northern cold climate like New York, you sometimes don't get enough sunshine. If you get out a little, and especially if you're staying indoors because of this virus now, but if you some sunshine, some fresh air and some sunshine is good for you because sunshine, the sun gives you vitamin D, and vitamin D has been found to boost the immune system. In fact, during the Spanish flu, people who were sick in the Spanish flu, and because they didn't have enough room in hospitals, they sometimes had outside hospitals. And so people, some of the sick people were having the sun on them while they were sick and they were outdoors. They tended to survive at a much higher rate than the people who were locked inside closed hospitals. Because some sunshine and vitamin D, that can help with the immune, not overdoing it, not sunbathing. Going out in the sun and sunbathing and doing it in very warm climates like Florida or Arizona or Texas or places where it's very, very warm and very hot and the sun is very hot, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. I'm talking about people, especially in northern climates where you don't get enough sun. Anyway, that's enough of me playing doctor here. I'm not a doctor, even though I play one on these videos. No, I'm not a doctor, but medical evidence, medical research proves that the things I'm telling you are true, that diet, a healthy diet, does boost your immune system and does give you a longer and better life. A healthy diet works. Exercise works. So if you get exercise, you got to get exercise. Exercise works. Healthy diet works. And if you have a stronger immune system, you're less likely to get infected and you're less likely to have other problems. And I'm saying it again as someone who lives in the ultimate high-risk area. I'm 63 years old. I'm a senior citizen. I'm living in Queens, which is the epicenter of the epicenter. So we'll see what happens. Many people in this community already are being infected, and so we'll see. Let's hope, God willing, that we find a cure for this terrible tragic disease, this terrible tragic virus that is spreading. And when we do, I think the economy can come back, and I hope that people are not going to be so stupid because of this tragic situation. I think Donald Trump might have a serious problems when he runs for re-election in November. If the economy really, really tanks, I think it could cause problems for him because past experience shows that that's what voters do. They usually vote against someone when the economy is doing badly, against the president when that happens. But I hope people will understand that this particular thing, in this particular situation, as bad as it is, you'd rather have Trump running the economy, even when we have a crisis like this and the economy is bad, you'd rather have him doing it than Joe Biden and the Socialist Democrats. So we want to spread the truth, and by the way, throughout this entire period, we have not stopped for 1 minute in bringing Hebrew videos, our Hebrew video campaign, where we bring the truth to the Jews of Israel. We haven't stopped for 1 minute. That's where we spend our resources as an organization. As a movement, we spend our money on on advertising our Hebrew videos and bringing them to the people of Israel. And tens of thousands of Israeli Jews see our videos every week, every month. Tens of thousands are seeing our videos and get our message. And that's very, very important. Nothing is more important than that. And that has not stopped during this period. And in fact, more people are on the internet watching it now than ever before, because people are stuck in their houses, unfortunately. Also in Israel, they have lockdowns. And so people are stuck in their houses, so they're watching the internet even more. So we're actually getting more views on our videos because of the virus than we were getting before the virus. So at least that hasn't stopped, and at least that campaign is going on, and we're continuing to bring the truth to the people, to the Jews of Israel, which is the most important thing that we can do. Let's hope and pray for the best, and there will eventually be a solution to this, God willing, and we will get out of this, God willing. I believe that a vaccine and or drugs will be developed that will fight this off, and from that research, you may even find, you know, you're seeing drugs that were used against malaria, that were used against lupus and other diseases. You're seeing those drugs now being brought in. Even HIV drugs were being tried. They were proven ineffective so far in the fight against coronavirus. But you see that drugs that are used for one thing sometimes can bring progress in fights against other diseases or other health problems. So hopefully this will also bring solutions to other health problems as well, that the research will bring solutions to other health problems, hopefully, God willing. So let's not despair by any means. We have to pray. We have to, and Jews out there, you have to return to Hashem and do tshuva and Torah and mitzvot and tshuvot. That's very, very important. That's the real message here, because God is warning the world that the world has been going in the wrong direction for a long time now, and things had better straighten out. Because this really shows us how vulnerable we are. We're just flesh and blood. We're very vulnerable. We can't last a millisecond without God. Everything we do, every breath we take, everything, we are so vulnerable. We are so completely dependent upon God. And so let's understand that lesson, and let's return to God and do what's right, and not just return to God in terms of Torah observance, but also return to God in terms of our commitment to the land of Israel and the people of Israel, and fighting to make sure that we do what Jews are supposed to do in this generation, which is fight for Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael. And we in JTF are trying to do that by waking the people of Israel up, which is absolutely essential. And you should be part of that as well. All of us should be part of that struggle. If we fight together as a team, we can change history. We can make a difference. Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.